In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Saints, Vince Lombardi once said, "Winning isn't everything. Winning is the only thing." Tiger Woods once said, "Winning solves everything." There's something inside humanity that strives towards winning or succeeding. And of course there is. That's what gives us drive. Whether you're stepping onto the field or competing in the struggle for life, there's a drive to succeed that compels you to push ahead. That no one sets out to lose. No one wants to fail. If that were the case, no one would try. To some degree or another, everyone wants to push ahead and win and succeed. But in the ancient world, it wasn't about getting a blue ribbon or a gold medal. It was about survival. In the ancient world, so much was driven by war and military force that the nation that was on top was the one that could rule by military force and make other nations comply with what they wanted. And the king's army that won, that king would come riding into his city on his war horse, and everyone would celebrate the victory of the king. Trumpets would blast, victory songs were sung, they would throw gifts at the king, and they would wave palm branches in the air, which was a symbol of victory. How extremely ironic it is then, and we see in the life of Jesus this triumphal entry. First, that Jesus' war horse is but that of a donkey. Now, no one rides a donkey into war. You ride a donkey if you need to go nice and slow. But he rides this donkey, and people are waving palm branches as if he's a king and as if he's won a major battle. They're laying down their cloaks on the road as if a red carpet for this king. And part of what makes this so ironic is that Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. You see, the king is supposed to be celebrated in his own town after winning the battle. And here, Jesus is riding into the very city that will put him to death. As the hymn goes, which we'll sing, ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Nothing about this account seems quite right. The triumphal entry, as it should be, seems so modest. Where's the horse? Where are the trumpets? This is being treated as a great victory of war, but Jesus is riding into the town of his death. How is that victory? It would seem that this is not winning. It would seem like it is losing. That is what we get from our Philippians reading for today. It says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." He who is the greatest of all, Jesus, comes in such lowliness and humility. The very Son of God comes despised and forsaken. He comes rejected and crucified, and he comes this way for you. This is because Jesus knows that this is the only way for you and I to have life, is for him to have death. Because somebody has to die for sin. The consequences of sin have to go somewhere. And the wrath of God for sin and transgression go somewhere, but they don't go on us. We are the ones who are sinners. We are the ones who have broken the commandments of God. So we are the ones that deserve death. But if you want to know what sin looks like, if you want to know the result of sin, you need only look at the cross, where there are three nails and blood spilled. That is what sin does. For those times that we have such little patience that the smallest thing makes us snap at the ones we love, or that we make everything about us, that we see someone who could really use our help, but we have better things to do because it's all about number one. It's all about you. What does sin look like? So often we think about those maybe we've hurt, maybe someone in pain for the thing that we've done. But that doesn't even consider the kind of transgression before our holy God. The punishment for sin, the true consequence of sin, is not just in those whom we've hurt. It's everything that Jesus endured. Jesus crying out in a loud voice, forsaken by God and abandoned. That is the result of sin, and that is what you deserve. But Jesus did not want that for you. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he made himself nothing. That he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus says, "I will cry out in pain instead of you. That I will be forsaken by God instead of you. I will be the one who's abandoned, not you. I'll have the anger, the rejection, the punishment, the wrath of God. I will take it instead of you so that you don't have to," Jesus says. This is exactly what the cross is. The glory of God. That it is the joy of Jesus to do this for you. Not the pain, not the suffering. Jesus, in fact, prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Jesus is like any other man who feels pain and would not look forward to being tortured. He did not want to be whipped. He did not want to be scourged. He was not begging for someone to strip him of his clothes or to mock him or to beat him, or to have his flesh torn upon, or being nailed to a wooden cross. Jesus didn't want any of that. But he did want you. And if that's what it takes to get you back, if that's what it takes to cleanse you of all of your sins and to make you holy and righteous before God, then that is what Jesus is going to do. For you, Jesus gives his head for a crown of thorns to be pressed upon. For you, Jesus gives his cheeks to be beaten. He gives his back to be scourged. Jesus gives his hands and his feet to be nailed, because in doing so, he wins you back. Jesus will do whatever it takes because he loves you that much. Jesus loves you so much that he's riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. Ride on, we'll sing. Ride on in majesty and lowly pomp, ride on to die. Did Jesus really do all that for you? Did Jesus really die for your sins? Your transgressions? Yes. He wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be here right now if he had not done all of this for you. You would not be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit if Jesus had not done that for you. That Jesus would not give you his body to eat and his blood to drink if he had not done all that for you. So are you forgiven? Are you righteous? Yes. Jesus says so in his word. He says so in washing you with water that cleanses unto eternal life. He says so in giving you bread and wine to drink, that he did not go to all of that trouble to leave you as orphans, but that Jesus brought you here, that he established a church so that he would be found among you, giving you these gifts, that you would know with certainty that your sins are forgiven and that you would be deemed righteous by God himself. And so you are. In just 5 days from now, in the timeline of events, Jesus will appear before the crowds and before Pilate. After having been beaten, having been scourged, while blood is still dripping down from his brow, being pierced with thorns, and Pilate will say these words. Pointing to Jesus, he'll say, "Behold your king." Our king indeed. Now, anyone else would look at a man like that, bloody and worthless, and say, "What a loser." They'd say, "There's great weakness. There is disappointment. But there is our king." Because his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus doesn't need the gold. He doesn't need the praise of men. He does not need the power that human office affords, because all glory is already his. He owns all the gold. He has all the power, and every mouth will one day confess him as Lord. But for you and for your salvation, he does not find his glory in these things, but that Jesus finds his glory in the cross. It is the glory of Jesus to redeem his people, to win for you the forgiveness of all of your sins, even if doing so means bleeding and dying, because he's winning you through the cross of Christ. I don't know if the people who line the road this day of Palm Sunday really knew what they were doing, what they were saying, but either way, there is something very true about what's going on. And as odd as it may have looked, this is a triumphal entry. This is a victory march for Jesus, even if he's riding on to die. Because it's in his death, even a death that looks like losing, it's in his death that there is victory. It's victory, not just for Jesus who will rise again on the third day. It's victory for sinners who would otherwise have nothing but death. But we have victory in the death of Christ, because it's in that death our King saves us from all of our sins. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.